Got your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter number 2. I'm burdened to preach what I am tonight. I probably ain't going to say a lot of new things tonight, but I want to just cover some things that we need to be reminded of. Amen? And I want you to go to Acts chapter number 2. And tonight I'm going to talk about the church. A lot of folks says that the church is in decline. Well, some of them are. And I tell you why they're in decline. They've got away from the New Testament pattern of the church. Amen? And I want to preach about that New Testament pattern. Now, I wasn't here last Sunday because I had that COVID again for the third time. I've had 3 shots and 3 times with COVID. Somebody help me right there. Something don't seem right. But I'm better. Not 100%, but 99.3. Amen. And I'm better. And I'm ready to preach tonight. And my calendar is a little different from yours. Yours is from January to January. Mine's always from September to September. Because I started pastoring here 46 years ago, and at the last part of August, and August or September the 1st is my start of my 47th year. And you might be asking yourself, are you burnt out? I may rust out, but I ain't going to burn out. I am absolutely on fire for God. And stirred as I was when I was 27 years old, and I came to this church when I was 27, that's 46 years ago, and I still believe God is real, and I still believe we can have a wonderful, robust church right here at Taze Valley Baptist Church. Amen. And I'm looking for a breakthrough this year. You know, I'm burdened tonight. My mind's going about 14 different directions. I'm burdened tonight. Because, see, there's a devil that like to cause this thing to run off the rails. Amen. Hello. He's a real devil. Oh, yeah. And he hates real churches. He ain't going to mess with that bunch of liberal churches. Why would he? They wouldn't say boo at the devil if he had a pitchfork after him. Amen. But he's after ours. And I want you to know, I want to tell you where the attack is. I'm not preaching on it tonight, but I'm just going to tell you where the attack is. It's on the home. Some of you really need to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And, hey, by the way, if you're online and you're scared of COVID, dear Lord, get back to church. Amen. This is a significant church. Some of y'all take it for granted sometimes, but this is a significant church. It's making an impact worldwide. We support 195 missionaries. We're spending over $300,000 to evangelize the world just to missions. You said, when did that start? I mean, hey, listen to me. We've been a mission-minded church. Amen. It's a blessed church. How many believe we're blessed? Amen. And I tell you what, we've not begun to do what God will do through us and with us. I'm excited that, hey, Zach, I'm excited that God will still bless old-time religion. And I know I'm going to get some hate mail and probably be put on a few websites for saying old-time religion. But when I say old-time religion, I'm talking about where the church started on the day of Pentecost. If you want to pattern your church after anything, pattern them after the church at Pentecost. Good preaching, Reverend. Amen. I don't want this to be a religious country club. I don't want us to be a bunch of plastic hypocrites. Hey, we need to be a church. Tonight I'm preaching on a church on fire. Amen. You said, but churches can't be on fire. Oh, yes, churches can be on fire. We need preachers on fire. We need deacons on fire. We need laymen on fire. We need men on fire. We need women on fire. We need children on fire. I about shouted my head off this morning. When I left, went home, I told my wife, I said, the Holy Ghost was here this morning. That little sixth grade girl, was she brave or not? Walked out of here, came down here, and repented of her sins and got saved by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you what, ain't wasn't nobody with her. She just broke loose. That's the kind of church we need. Well, glory. Well, y'all all right? Did you think I'm going to just come and preach a little easy little sermon? I didn't preach easy this morning. I'm not going to preach easy tonight. I want to talk about what we need to be. This was the day of Pentecost. And they were there because of a feast, not a funeral. A lot of churches today, they dead as a hammer. They're like going to a funeral. I want y'all to know something. I am not and I will not allow this church to die. Low scale, look at me. I'm seeing it tonight. I'm not going to allow it to die. I'm not going to allow it to go by the way of liberals. I'm not going to allow it to be contemporary. I am going to stay by the marks of a New Testament church. Amen. Oh, some of you look at me. Bless me if you can. I can't bless you. You need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Good preacher, Reverend. But they were celebrating the feast of Pentecost or the Passover. And here's how they done it. Afraid you know how they done it. They got some grain. And by the way, that grain was representing of the individual church members. And then they got some oil. And then they crushed that grain into kind of powder. And then they put that oil in that grain. And they mixed all that up. And they made two loaves. And on that day of Pentecost, they would offer 10 animals, 7 lambs that were without blemish. And they all were a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was without blemish, who was our Savior. Somebody say amen. And then 1 young bullock and 2 rams. And that was 10 is a picture of completion. And that was talking about the completion of Calvary. And then they took that flour and that oil, and that oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, and that represents the Holy Spirit of God. And they mix it, and they make 2 loaves. You say, why 2 loaves? Because everything was going to be different now. The church was going to be made up of not only Jews, but also Gentiles. Amen. And what God done is he took them individual grains and made them a loaf. And that loaf's the church, the body. So what I'm going to do, if you got your Bibles, just let's start reading at verses number 2. And I'm going to give you 5 ingredients or marks of what this church ought to be like. I'm not talking about these other churches. I'm not their pastor, but I'm yours. So number 1, they were marked by supernatural power. Look what the Bible says. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Somebody hold me right there. You know what some of y'all need to do? Quit being so bitter and picky and start loving one another. Somebody help me preach, and let's be in one accord. Hey, this ministry's not mine. It's not yours, it's God's. And what our job is to be one accord, we need to be all gathered together. Amen. It's pretty good, isn't it? Look at verse number 2. And suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And now, and if you read on down, they spake in their languages. Those tongues were somebody help me, were languages. Let me say three things about this power. First of all, it was visualized power. It came down on them like cloven fire upon their heads. What they became was 120 human candles. Amen. And flame was flickering out of their head. And then there was a sound of wind. And by the way, I heard this preacher he was going to preach on the Holy Spirit, a symbol of wind, Brother Fred. And he went to that a sea captain. He said, well, he probably would know about the wind. He said, he looked at the sea captain. He said, would you tell me a lot about the wind? Sea captain said, I can't tell you a lot about the wind, but I can tell you about how to set your sails with the wind. You know what some of us need? We need to see the visualized power. I want you to know, you don't have to tell people you're filled with the Holy Ghost. It will show up on you. It works from the inside out. Somebody say amen or something. Amen. It was visualized power. I don't know if you've, Fred, have you heard of this Scottish pastor, Robert Burns? You probably read after him. Robert Burns went to a church one day, and he said the song service was dead. It was like two calves dying in a hailstorm. And the preaching was dead. And he picked up a hymnal and he wrote on the hymnal, and he wrote this, as cold of wind as that ever blew, a cold church and just a few, as cold a minister that ever spoke, and you shall all be hot before I come back. You know what people are looking for? They're looking for the real deal. They're looking for a red hot church. Now, there's some churches in this community that don't like us. Our Brazilian brother, some of them don't like me. You know why they don't like me? Because I preach it strong and hot and real. And we even have church on Sunday night. You got to find a church on Sunday night. I bet you if you go up and down the road, you'll feel some empty tonight. You know why? They ain't got the power of the Holy Ghost. Am I preaching? Not only was it visualized power, it was vocalized power. Look at verse 4 and 5. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Amen. By the way, study the book of Acts. There was three times, Chad, they spoke in tongues. And every time they spoke in tongues, a Jew was present. Oh, did y'all hear that? You say, why is that important? Because the tongues were given for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. What tongues done was to confirm the gospel when it first was preached. But our Bible said tongues shall cease. And they ceased in and of themselves when that which is perfect shall come. I'm not as well just tell you, I got that which is perfect in my hand. It's the Word of God. I don't have to have a sign gift. I don't have to say somebody look at me and say, you don't talk in tongues. You don't have the power of God. Oh, yes, I do. I've got the unction to function, and I got the power of God tonight. And it's not speaking another tongue. It's not slaying somebody in the spirit. It's the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. I want all y'all to know there will be no repeating of Pentecost. There was one Bethlehem, one Calvary, and one Pentecost. Bethlehem was God with us, Calvary was God for us, and Pentecost is God in us. We preaching. Man, I feel some good power tonight. Verse number 4, it was vitalized power. Yes, sir. I tell you what, look at verse 4. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I hear all the time, what's the church need? We need more seminars. We're seminar to death. We need more marriage conferences. We need more of this. I tell you what we need. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what the epitaph of most churches today, Brother Fred, is? They don't even have a clue what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You get baptized once with the Holy Ghost when you get saved. There's one baptism. That's when you get saved. You're placed in the body. But there's many feelings. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, well, I tell you what's wrong. Why they're dead churches, they're empty. And there's no power in them. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Most of them filled with the devil. Am I all right? Okay over there? Am I preaching it right? It's vital. We have the power of God. Amen. Vitalized power. Amen. See, I want to say this to you. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. If you say you're saved and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're lost. Amen. Country church was having service, and preacher preached, and he preached and had a deacon pray for him at the end of the service. And he said this, Chad. He said, Lord, will you unctionize our pastor? That's what he said. And the pastor went up to him afterwards, and he said, he was kind of miffed. He said, well, what's unctionized mean? He said, I'm not sure what it means, but I know you ain't got it. Hello. We need some people. Not phonies, not these manipulators that get behind the pulpit and, oh, they know how to manipulate Facebook. They know how to manipulate social media, but they're so popular. I'm not out to win a popularity contest. I want the power of God. I want God's power in you. I want the power of God in this church. I want you to be servants of the Most High God. I want you to be led and directed by the Holy Ghost. Secondly, I better hurry if I get all 5 of these. Then they had scriptural preaching. You said, what kind of preaching are you doing tonight? I'm going right down the Bible. They had scriptural preaching. Look at the Bible. Look in verse number 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice. Now, Fred, I believe when he lifted up his voice, he spoke loud. You said, well, I just don't like loud preaching. You don't? Well, I lift her up every week like a trumpet. And some of you need loud preaching to wake you up. I'll tell you what kind of preach we need, that scriptural preaching. Look at verses 22 through 25. We need preaching, number one. You men of Israel, look at verse 22. Hear these words that expounds the scripture. I want to be honest with you. This is what we got to preach. You know what we got in our land? I read several churches in this area's statement. One particular Baptist church in this area, their statement is that we're a contemporary church and we got a contemporary message. No, man, I have a real problem with that. I've got an old time message that is relevant for even today. Hey, it is still God's authority. It's God's word. We need to get preachers like I preached to you this morning and like I'm preaching to you tonight to go line upon line and precept on precept and expound the scripture. And not only expound the scripture, we need to exalt the Savior. Jesus Christ, a man approved of God. You know what they preach? They preach Jesus. How many of y'all agree with me? He's still the answer. He's what changed my life January 31st, 1973. He's what changed me and turned my life around. And then I was called to preach 6 months later, and I've been preaching somewhere for almost 51 years. And you say, where'd that come from? It came from God. Exalt the Savior. I tell you what's going on. Can I just blow the lid on everything? We got a bunch of preachers. You know what they exalt? Themselves. I mean, they want to be big time. They, some of them now, even got their worth on Facebook and on the internet. Hello. Hey, some of them 40 years old that's worth more than anybody in this room. Amen. And I wonder what their motive is. It ought not be money. It ought not to be fame. It ought not to be popularity. It ought to be exalting Jesus. I got a lot of faults. Go ahead and say amen. But I'll tell you one thing you can't accuse me of is not preaching the Bible. And then also that preaching exposes sin. Look at verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, here's our problem. We've sugarcoated sin. We don't want to preach on it. It was sin. It was a Jew's sin that sent Christ to the cross. They crucified him. By the way, and you did too. Oh, I know. You know, this church is the only church in this valley that has took stands on cultural issues. I mean, we were the first to take stand, only church to take stand on liquor. I still think liquor's wrong. And amen. And I don't think it needs to be down to any park, any public place. And this woke theology. You know I got folks watching me right now trying to see, is he going to mention my sin? Because as soon as I do, they're going to put it on Facebook. But I want them to know something. I ain't backing up. Sin's still sin. Still wrong. And we can't preach the Bible unless we expose sin. All right? Number three. I'm moving quickly. I'll tell you the result of that preaching. Look at verses 37 through 41. The result of that preaching was people got saved. They had saved people. Were y'all thrilled this morning when somebody walked the aisle? You ought to be shouting tonight. Some of you ought to say, hallelujah. We had somebody walk the aisle this morning, but we act like that's nothing. It's getting somebody pulled out of hell, and her being a young sixth grader, it might save her life. Let me talk about this saved people. Look in verse 37. Now, I preach this, and I want you to see it. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Hey, Fred, preaching and people getting saved without conviction is not of the Lord. How many of y'all remember when you got under old-timey conviction? I mean, your sin was exposed to you, and you saw what you were, and then they were converted. The Bible said they repented. Oh, boy. I just committed a capital crime. I preached on repentance. Hey, see, repentance is the head, and faith is the heads and tail of the same coin. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of direction. You can't repent without faith, and you can't have faith without repentance. But we don't preach it anymore. No, we preach easy believism. Just come up here and let me pat you on the back and let me assure you, you're all right. No, you're not all right. You're a sinner. You need to repent. Am I all right? Number three, there was confession. And I really want to explain this so you don't get mixed up. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There was a confession. You know what baptism is? Baptism is an outward confession of an inward faith. And by the way, that word for there is the Greek word essus, which means because of. You know why I was baptized? Because I got saved. Not on in order to be saved. Am I preaching it right? We got a sect or cult that preaches baptismal regeneration, and that's their verse, their go-to. But they don't preach it right. We believe in baptism, but it's after salvation. The Bible said they repented at the preaching of Jonah in Luke. That word at is the same word for, and it's the same Greek word essus. Why did they repent? Because of the preaching. Why was I baptized? Because I was saved. That's how I confess Christ. If you're in this room and haven't been baptized, you need to be. Not to be saved, but to confess Christ. Amen. Amen. Y'all all with me? And then verse 38, they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were controlled by the Lord. I tell you what, the Bible says, be not drunk with excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to make a statement. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's not that you don't have the Holy Ghost. In a lot of cases, the Holy Ghost doesn't have us. He wants us bad. He wants to control us. And then, boy, I am going to get in trouble now. Look at verse 41 and 42. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day added unto them about 3,000 souls. Listen to this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I tell you what, there was a continuing. Now, I know this is going to be just a little shaky for some of you. I think real salvation will bring real continuance. These people that come in church are in and they're out, and they're in and they're out, and they don't continue, I'm just going to tell you, they haven't really had the real deal. I just believe you're going to continue. And if you don't get right, hey, you don't continue, then you're going to get beat half to death. Going to be chastened. Is that good preaching? You said, how long you been saved? Well, next February, I think it's 52 years. I'm still continuing. Now, I've slipped around a little bit. I've not always been right to the foot of the cross, and I hope y'all don't think you have. But I want to tell you, I'm still continuing. I'm still believing. I'm still functioning. I'm still winning people to Christ. I'm continuing. It breaks my heart when I see families in the church come a while, and then they get derailed, and now they're not continuing. And you think his pastor's not broken about it. I was in the office with Brother Chad yesterday, and man, it just seems like lately, Brother Faber, Sister Faber, all I'm hearing is this one's off the rail, and this one's off the rail. Man, God called this evening somebody else off the rail. My heart breaks. You know what the problem is? They haven't continued. They won't stay in church. They won't stay in the Word. They don't have family devotions. They don't pray with their children. God help us to continue. I'm on the upper way. New heights I go every day. Let me give you the last point. I'll just kind of, the spiritual program of the church. Now, I want y'all to know, we got a food pantry. We got Awana. We got Valley Teens. We got a senior ministry. We got a ministry for everything. And I thank God for those. But I want to talk about a spiritual program. And let me give them to you. Look at verse 41, and we'll go through these scriptures real quickly. Number one, they had an indoctrination. Look what the Bible said. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now here's what's said today in churches. Don't preach doctrine. That's divisive. Well, then, what did they preach? You know what? You know what bothers me? Look at me. Is we got church members don't even know what they believe. They don't even know why they're a Baptist. One of our church members said something the other day. I like to die. Said, somebody asked him, why are you a Baptist? They said, because the pastor is. I tell you why I'm a Baptist, because we believe in salvation by grace. I tell you why I'm a Baptist, we believe your eternity secures when you get saved. I tell you why I'm a Baptist, I believe in sanctification, progressive sanctification, sanctified on the inside once and for all, and progressively being more like Christ every day, and then one day I'm going to be ultimately sanctified, and also I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to get a new body. We were talking about that today. Don't tell me not to preach doctrine. Dead churches do that. And then they were edified. Look what the Bible said. And continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's edification. By the way, I believe you ought to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And like Lee Robson used to preach, it takes three to thrive. Am I preaching? And this bothers me. Can I just tell you one of my pet bothers, what bothers me? I've done said everything tonight. Might as well say the rest of it. Is when people have a problem, you know what they say? Well, I got a problem. I can't come to church. Are you out of your ever living mind? That's when you need God and need preaching and need help. If you listen to a lie, get back in church. Am I all right? Then they had adoration, breaking of bread and prayers. They had a worship service. I tell you, we need to learn to worship God in spirit and truth. And then verses 43 through 45, they had participation. Look at this. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Amen. And did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They participated. Now I'm gonna talk to you. You know how you participate? By coming to church faithfully. Going soul winning. Witnessing the people. And paying a tenth of your money. Did y'all die on me? But I don't think that's all you give. That's just what you owe God. Your tithe. Then you give your offering and your mission gift. That's a thriving church. And then they had propagation. The Bible said that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Here's what done. Listen to this. They started with 120 on the day of Pentecost. And before the day was over, they were 3,120. Then Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, and then 5,000 men got saved. Didn't talk about children and women. Hello? And then in chapter 5 and verse 28, it said, they multiplied. Do you know they quit numbering them? They got so many people that they quit numbering. They quit counting. Who could count thousands upon thousands? You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to reach our community with the gospel. Propagation. B.H. Carroll said, Chad, I don't know. He said, I don't know how they get these figures. He said by the chapter 6, they had 65,000. And G. Campbell Morgan rebuked him and said, no, it was more like 250,000. In 6 months, I'll tell you this, this church can turn this community upside down for Christ if we follow the pattern that your pastor gave you tonight. Can I ask you a question? You go, Lois, go ahead to the piano. And I want you to stand. I wonder how many of y'all will just come around the altar tonight and say, God, I want you to fill me with your spirit. And I want to pray for the preacher. I believe he wants revival. And I want to pray for the staff. And I want to pray for the deacons. And I want to pray for the food pantry. And I want to pray for the Wano clubs. And I want to pray for our seniors. And I want to pray for our ministry. I wonder how many just sit by your seat. If you just come and say, I'm praying for this old preacher, it'll mean the world to me. Our Father, touch our people. Help them this tonight just say, I want to be on fire for God. I want this church to be on fire for God. Our Lord, touch it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you coming?